Hello, everyone. How's everyone doing today?
Well,
kicking. That's what we like. Welcome, welcome. Today is February 16th. My name is Kurt Mortensen. We're going to get into influence. A little hoarse today, so hopefully you can understand what I'm saying. We're here to give you a tool that you can use this week to think about. We're going to take your questions and implement some of the things that will really make a big difference in your ability to influence. And, of course, to make 2011 your year. Now, there's an interesting term that actually came out of Korea. When I've been to Korea and done some training on charisma and influence, and they've translated my books into Korean, the term they use is hidden energy. And I really like that word because sometimes when you meet somebody, there's a hidden energy. There's something about them that you like. You want to be around them. You want to be influenced by them. And as I monitor top persuaders, there's certain characteristics that they have that the average person doesn't have, and all of them can be learned. So I want to talk about some of those today, some of that hidden energy, because you've met people, it's just something about them, you want to be around them, and that's your goal when you persuade and influence or sell. Whatever you do, is the doors open. They want to be influenced by you. They want to be around you when you have this hidden energy. So let's talk, let's spend some time talking about this hidden energy. The first one we notice is passion. Passion, more than anything else, recruit the hearts and minds of the people around you. If I had to choose between someone that had product knowledge, and knew everything there was to know, all the bells and whistles, versus somebody that was passionate about it, I would choose the passionate person every time. They would out-persuade, they would out-negotiate, they would out-influence, they would out-sell that person every time, because this is an emotional business, and passion talks to our heart. And when I've done seminars before where I get people up to teach them to do persuasive presentations, one of the exercises I do is I have people come up and talk about something that they're passionate about. And we've seen some really interesting things, from frozen yogurt. They were so excited, and here's the flavors, and here's where you go. I mean, really, it's frozen yogurt. But the interesting thing is, when she was done, what did everybody want? What do you think?
Frozen yogurt.
Frozen yogurt. And then this other lady gets to talk about scrapbooking and this and doing that. And I don't know if you scrapbook or not. I don't scrapbook. I really don't even get it. But she was so passionate about it, I kind of started to get it a little bit. Now, I'll still never scrapbook, but I can understand why some people do it sometimes. That's what passion does. It recruits people. It's more important than product knowledge. It's a powerful, powerful thing. Now, passion is interesting. You can learn passion. In fact, let me open it up to the group. What are some things that you can do to increase your passion about your product or service?
I think one thing, become product of the product.
Okay, a good thing to increase your passion, you're right on, is to become a product of the product. It's very difficult to transfer that energy when you really don't know that much about it. Anybody else?
I would almost say walk the walk and talk the talk, which might be exactly what the gentleman before me just said.
It's close, a little different. Walk the walk, talk the talk, you're there. That all increases passion. Sometimes when you have that excitement about it, that energy, when you're passionate about something, there's a sense of mission. And another thing, when you're passionate about your product, your service, or idea, whatever it is, and someone says, well, it wouldn't work, I don't like it, why are you doing that? It doesn't affect you. It actually motivates you more. That's when you know you're passionate about it. And it really drives you. It gives you a sense of purpose. You're excited to convert people to your cause. You can't be swayed by the opinions of others. When you have passion about something, you're excited, you have zeal, and you want to share it with the world. That's important. And that's one of the things we're looking for. Now, the question I want you to ask yourself, when you're talking to a person, a client, or a prospect, here's the question you need to ask yourself. When you're talking to them, are you singing the song, or are you singing the words? Let me repeat that. Are you singing the song, or are you singing the words? What does that mean?
Are you present?
Yeah. Are you present?
Present. Are you emotionally, you know, there?
Detached. Yeah. And that's a big thing, and people can sense it. When you're talking to somebody, are you going through the motions? You're saying the words. You're doing what you're supposed to say. You're answering the questions. And just singing the words, are you really singing the song? Can they really feel your zeal, your passion, your energy, your emotion? That's what you're looking for. Because they can tell. They're not going to call you on it, but they can tell. And that's important. Every time you meet somebody, every time you talk to somebody, everybody can do business with you or know somebody that can. That's why it's so important to put all your heart and energy into it and develop passion. Increase your passion by the belief in your product or service, by tapping into that enthusiasm, by tapping into those emotions, really increases your passion. But then the question of the day will be, what is the difference between passion and enthusiasm? Anybody? Are they close?
I think it's outward and inward, kind of.
There's something to be said for enthusiasm, but yeah, sometimes enthusiasm comes across as fake, or we can even define it as hype. I think passion becomes more inward sometimes, but enthusiasm is still important. Norman Vincent Peale said, when one gets enthusiastic, the entire personality lights up, the mind becomes sharper, more intuitive, the entire life force and creative ability are enhanced. So there's really, it's important to be enthusiastic, to have that energy, because if they're not excited about your product or service, if they don't see the need for your product or service, it's your fault, okay? You didn't transfer any passion or any enthusiasm. Now, fake enthusiasm would be hype. We see that all the time. Enthusiasm is critical. Now, where a lot of people blow up with enthusiasm is they read a Sales 101 book that said, be enthusiastic. But when you go into somebody's office Monday morning before they have their coffee and you're like, it's a great day today. How you doing today? It's so good to be. They're going to throw you out, okay? So the thing you need to understand with enthusiasm is you always match and mirror someone's you match someone's enthusiasm when you first meet them and you slowly bring it up. But if you're way up here with your enthusiasm and they're way down here, it actually repels people and causes quite a bit of resistance. And you can increase your enthusiasm. You have to ask yourself, are you enthusiastic? Is your energy contagious? Do people want to be around you? Do you have that, again, that hidden energy that will cause people to want to be around you? And those are things that can be learned, some things we don't always talk about, but those are important. Passion, again, more than anything else, recruit the hearts and minds of the people around you, and that'll transfer that energy and that enthusiasm. Simple things, but very few people have mastered that. Because I can take two persuaders with the same persuasion IQ, the same leads, the same product, one's doing twice as many sales. Why? It's the passion. They're singing the song. They're not going through the emotions. They love what they do, and they're a product of the product. So create that enthusiasm. Yeah, go ahead.
I can share something with the group about passion. It just struck me as you were speaking. I had a professor at UC Berkeley maybe less than a year ago, and I had a chance to speak at the end of the class and share with some ideas about this particular class. And one of the things that I did for the instructors' well-being is I mentioned to them how fortunate we were, even though we paid for this class, to have someone who was so dedicated to coming to the class starting at 6:30 at night, teaching us for 3 hours. And I said, my sense was to him that even if he wasn't being paid, his knowledge and his care of his students was so reflected in what he was doing for us that he would still show up even if he wasn't getting paid. And he confessed at the end, and we were on the 10th week already, he really appreciated what I had to say, and he said, you know, it's interesting that you should mention that I would teach if I didn't get paid because I really do believe in my subject matter very well. He said, it's funny you mention it. He said, I haven't been paid just yet. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy is on week 10, and he's not received the paycheck yet. And he is putting this enthusiasm, determination, and every pore of his body just exuded that on our behalf. And I was just so pleased to be in his presence and to learn. And there's something that our body does and our attention to our students or our prospective salespeople when we're more engaged on a passionate level.
Oh, absolutely. It changes the whole game, and thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
as you think about, you know, you go to college or any class, the classes you liked best was the professor, the teacher that was passionate, that loved what they do. And you didn't know you were going to like history so much, but they were so passionate about it that it changed your whole mindset. And I hear it all the time with students on the university level that they weren't going to major in it, but they had that one professor that was so passionate, that was so excited about it, got them interested in it, and the story goes from there. And so you can really create that passion, enthusiasm when, you know, you find someone that has the knowledge and that purpose, that purpose and that passion, and it does go a long way. It does create, like we say, that hidden energy.
Well, and if you think about the University of Berkeley, if they ever needed to sell their program, I mean, they're listening to one guy right now talking about the dedication of one professor, and, you know, it's free. They have to spend no money on that, and it came from that individual.
And that's important, because we can see the people around us have that energy and that passion. Sometimes we can learn from it and grow from it. And when we really look at that hidden energy, another one that keeps popping up, too, that's really interesting, and you've probably heard about it before, is optimism. Optimistic people have a hidden energy. They have a positive outlook in life. It's not thinking, it's not sitting on the couch thinking you're wealthy and everybody loves you and you never leave the house. That's a form of delusion, probably. Okay, I'm talking about that for the most part you believe eventually everything will work out. You know there'll be bumps in the road. You're still looking around corners, but you're optimistic because you have enough people in your life that are pessimistic and seem to suck the life out of you. And as we age sometimes, it seems people get beat up a little bit and become more and more pessimistic. But I'll tell you, if you want to be influential and persuasive and charismatic, you need to be optimistic. Having that positive outlook, giving people hope, having people see the future in your vision, the studies are astounding. Now, first of all, optimism, just like everything we're talking about today, can be learned, number one. Optimistic people perform better, live longer, stay married longer, make more money. I can go down a list of a lot of things. Deep down, you already know that to be true, but it's one we can always work on, is when you're around people, do they feel better about themselves? Do they see themselves using their product or service? Do they have more hope? That's all a function of optimism. When you master optimism, you'll have the ability to recover from any setback or failure with an easygoing nature. And that's a rare quality for a lot of people. And the studies show, again, time and time again, that you can create an influential optimism. You can find a positive in all the situations. Again, I'm not saying you have to think everything is so positive and rosy. The reality, optimism, you know you're going to have the ability to bounce back sooner rather than later, or not at all. And it's something that's really interesting. And if it's something that is a challenge for you, there's a great book by Dr. Martin Seligman called Learned Optimism, where he goes through how to learn optimism. It's one of those skills that can be learned. That's another form of that hidden energy.
What was the
another
author?
One we know, Seligman, S-E-L-I-G-M-A-N, Martin Seligman. Learned Optimism. Another aspect of hidden energy we notice with top persuaders is attitude. Now, isn't that interesting? Yeah, I have a positive mental attitude. Well, attitude's interesting because most people don't even know where attitude comes from. And let me tell you, and make a mental note of this, whether you're dealing with somebody with a bad attitude or you're suffering from a bad attitude, attitudes usually come from expectations. What you expect to happen, what you're looking for, tends to happen. Because everybody's attitude usually starts in neutral, but throughout the day, they get cut off. Somebody says something, and it ruins their attitude. They become chameleons. And understand that attitude gets reflected. So whatever your attitude is, or the attitude you think you're covering up, they can sense it. It drains your hidden energy, and it's something that's very important with successful people. They have high expectations. Things are going to work out. It goes along with the optimism thing, and they work on that attitude. They expect, for the most part, that things will work out. Things will get better. And that's important when you're talking to people. That's a big part of that hidden energy. Such a simple thing, but most people don't even think about their attitude during the day. They don't even realize why their attitude has turned sour. They just picked it up from somebody else, or again, somebody said something or cut them off or did something mean, and that destroys their whole attitude for the whole day. The biggest one, and spent the last, 3 years studying it, the biggest thing that we notice with hidden energy, to the point where people really want to be around you, be influenced by you, is charisma. And again, just like optimism, just like attitude, just like passion, charisma can be learned. Too many people, as I've done my research, say, oh, well, they're born that way. No, great, influential, charismatic people can learn all the skills. And Jerry Spence, he was a, I don't know if you recognize that name, he was a lawyer. He's never lost any cases. And he says, charisma's energy from the heart zone. Charisma's the passing of our pure energy to another. And there's a lot to be said by that when we talk about charisma. And there's just four elements that are important with charisma that you can start thinking about. And we could spend weeks on this. But charisma's that hidden energy. And there's four critical areas of charisma that you can start thinking about and think, okay, what is my weakest link here to be charismatic? The first one is your core qualities, kind of your inner charisma. If you're not charismatic to yourself, if you're not exciting to yourself, you're not going to be exciting to other people. Part of this could be your self-discipline, your competence level, having a purpose and passion in life, your integrity, having courage. That's kind of your core qualities. Those are things that people expect in a charismatic person, to have that bravery, that courage, to have integrity, to have a purpose. The interesting one here that we noticed with charismatic people that surprised me with the research was intuition. That should be part of your core qualities. Napoleon Hill talks about this on Think and Grow Rich, that successful people, millionaires, have the ability to make quick decisions. That a sign of failure is the ability is making slow decisions, because the inability to make decisions is a major cause of failure. And when we look at, you know, CEOs and charismatic leaders that are maybe running companies, they have access to thousands of pages of data, but ultimately they follow their heart, that intuition, that instinct, that urge. They don't talk about it much, but it's part of their core qualities. That instinct, that understanding the subconscious mind, that's a big piece of charisma. The other piece is your presence. When you walk into a room, do people notice, or they didn't know that you came in? You have to have a good presence.
Okay.
And this is over the phone, too, a good voice presence. You confident? Do you have that energy we talked about? Do you come across as healthy? There's a direct correlation between how you look and your health and your weight. That all magnifies itself in your ability to influence. Are you congruent with your gestures? Do you have a good, even a good title and authority? Interesting one here is, are you contented? Are you happy? People don't like to be around sour people. That was something about presence. You radiate just a general happiness. You're able to connect with people. There's just something about you and your appearance, something to think about. We've been told our whole life not to judge, but guess what? Anybody know the answer to that?
We do.
We all judge. In 30 seconds, we've put you into a category, so you have to make sure they put you in the right category. The third one we notice that this hidden energy and charisma is your ability to communicate and even deliver presentations. It could be in front of a group of people. It could be over the phone. It could be on a webinar. It could be one-on-one. There's something about communication, your presentation skills. Now, an interesting thing here, it used to be you just could get up there and educate. But when you start talking about the MTV generation and even most people now, we want to not only be educated, we want to be entertained. Have you seen that out there?
Yep.
Our attention spans are low. We need to be entertained. Part of this delivery and communication with your ability to develop rapport with people, your people skills, are you confident? Are you a good listener? Even things we notice here like a handshake. Here's an interesting thing. We could spend all day on this. But a bad handshake, and you've had them before, and you've probably given them before, a bad handshake will set you back 1 hour in building rapport.
Mm.
Isn't that amazing? And you know that to be true because deep down you're like, oh, really? And it just really throws you off. And so that whole demeanor, how you look and your delivery and your communication, how you give a presentation, goes a long way. And there's something really important here I need to tell you. Because I've been studying top persuaders and those who give presentations for a long time. And there are a lot of people out there that can give incredible presentations. People will laugh, people will cry, but the moment they ask them to do something, most of the audience says, oh, that was nice, and they leave. Because when you add presentation with persuasion, things change a little bit, and it's important that you add, you have both. The fourth one is your ability, talked a little bit about this, to empower others. When people are around you, when you leave, how do they feel? Did you energize them? Stimulate them? Did you motivate them to become a better person? Did you encourage them? Did they feel your empathy and your compassion and your sympathy? Did you boost their ego and their self-esteem? Did they see your vision and buy into your vision? You know, did you come across as credible? Were you respectful of them and others? Just a few things to think about when you really talk about that hidden energy. And this is more important than product knowledge. More important than product knowledge, but people always run to product knowledge first. And I see this all the time in, you know, home-based businesses or real estate. And people want to learn real estate, and so they run off. And if you had a personal development seminar or a real estate seminar, which one would everyone go to first?
Personal development.
Personal development. Well, we wish they would. But think about it. Most people run to the real estate because they want the tools, and after, that didn't work. I'm like, no, you need some of these other tools. And a lot of times, we focus on the wrong things. Now, it's 15% of your success is your core competence, and that's important. You do need that. But the other 85% are the things we focus on during these trainings. So what do I want you to do this week? I want you to think a little bit about your attitude. It's time for an attitude adjustment, because we can all work on this. I want you to do better at managing your expectations before you pick up the phone, before you talk to somebody. Too many people think about before that phone call, they say, well, they won't be interested, they won't like it, they're not the type of person. So manage your own personal expectations, and don't be a chameleon. Don't let somebody else dictate your attitude. But I also want you to learn to adjust your prospect's attitude. If they're in a negative, foul mood and have a negative attitude, it affects your ability to persuade them. I've told you this before, that when people are in a negative mood or have a negative attitude, they recall negative things and why they don't like you and don't want to do business with you. But if they're in a positive mood, have a positive attitude, it does a 180 to where they will listen and they want to do business with you. So adjust your prospect's attitude. So the question of the day is, how do you adjust your prospect's attitude? If you can sense they're kind of in a foul mood, what would work? Think of anything?
Maybe ask them what's going on.
Yeah, baby, just having someone for them to listen to, building up their self-esteem, giving them a little hope, maybe a large bottle of alcohol. No, I'm kidding.
Got to check their last name first. Yeah.
That's right. You might want to change the scenery. There's something about sunlight that will change people's attitude and perspective, and it just might be a variety of things that you can do. Telling them a story, humor will work. It depends on the person, but you need to be aware of that. To adjust that attitude, adjust the mood before you even attempt to influence, because too many people, oh, I'm here, I got to do it, versus really caring about that person. And when you can tap into this hidden energy, you'll see a big difference, not only in your personal relationship with the people close to you, but the people you meet on the street and the people you're attempting to influence. And again, this is not something you just want to try with the people you want to influence. Do it with everybody. Work on it all the time. It becomes part of you. It becomes one of your tools. And then you'll see a big difference in your ability to captivate people and to influence people. And the bottom line is you'll get other people to want to do what you want them to do and like doing it. Any questions about what we talked about today?
I'll make a great suggestion to the group. A couple things. One, when you're thinking about people, try to remember there's 6.4 billion of us on the planet Earth. We don't live that long, really. So when you kind of break it down, you have to sort of ask yourself, how much time do you want to spend in a negative energy moment at all, really? We don't really have that much time. You kind of break it down, the numbers get really quick and fast. I used to think that people who put a little phrase or something in the morning, say something positive, and it was kind of corny at first, and then I started actually doing it, making up my own, whatever that meant to me. And like a lot of things, after you do it for a while, you find out the change does start to occur, and it works really well. But one little trick I love these days is to really seek a great, great, great moral fiber, good story that doesn't offend anybody, that could actually be somewhat humorous. One person gave one to me today. It's a little long, but I won't share it with you. But look for that sort of thing as a tool to keep handy that can kind of pick somebody up just a little bit or make them go, hmm. Because if you can do that, sometimes it's the key to kind of getting your foot in the door and getting things going just a little bit, and you never know where you might go from there.
That's right on. If you can give them a little hope, if you can learn to praise, you know, that's a whole other topic, but most people don't praise because of their own lack of self-esteem or because they're having their own rotten day, but a little praise, a little boost in the ego, a little compliment, a little humor, a little hope goes a long way. And the thing is, it affects you and helps you more than it affects the other person. And that's
the ironic thing. Then you're more passionate about what you're doing.
Yeah, you're more passionate, you're more focused, you're more caring, and that makes a big difference, and that really opens the doors to influence. Thank you for sharing that. Any other comments or questions?
One more comment might be to read a lot and find a really, really, really current article that's uplifting and make a copy or two of it and have it with you at all times to share it with somebody when you might least expect they might appreciate it. Sometimes it just helps people know that you're thinking about them a little bit and you're out there trying to be smarter as every day goes by. It can boost how they see you quickly, especially
sure.
If it's relevant to what you're doing.
I think the key thing there is when you relate with them, says, you know what, I had some similar things happen to me and this really helped me out. So you're not...
Yeah.
Point any fingers. You said we all go through things. You know, we're all on the same team, and it does. And people remember that for a long time.
Long time. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. All right. Well, the recordings are posted at ywhypersuasion.com. We're going to start doing the new postings. Give us 24 hours to do that. Any last minute questions or comments?
Yeah, Curdy, I have one. Is there any place where you can get a persuasion IQ test, like a little quiz, like an online quiz?
There is. We've got a couple different versions we've been testing out. There, in fact, on whypersuasion.com, there's a comment or question for me if you want to fill that out. If you go to persuasioniq.com, you can either take a college-type test that's just going to give you the answers. In fact, one thing I just created is only about 2 weeks old. I'd love your feedback. There's a thing that says, just give me the answers, where it's actually... It gives you the question, you can take it, then I come on a video, and I say, this is why that's the answer. So that's been really helpful to people. So that's on persuasioniq.com. There's three things you can do. You can just get the answers if you want, or you can take a college-type test, or you can do a little mix where you're taking the test, and after the question, I come on, I say, okay, this is why you got it right or wrong.
Wow, that's great. Thank you.
And I just kind of go through the different aspects of top persuaders. All right, any other questions out there?
Nope, thanks.
All right, do your homework, adjust your attitude, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Great session. Thank you so much.
All right, good night, everyone.
Have a great week.
You too. See ya.
Bye.